This is, of course, the holiday that combines the commemoration of the birthdays of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, two men always near the top of presidential rankings. In fact, in 2010, the Siena Research Poll survey of presidential scholars put Franklin and Theodore Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and Thomas Jefferson at the top. In 2009, C-SPAN put Rutherford B. Hayes, Herbert Hoover, John Tyler, Millard Fillmore, and George W. Bush at the bottom. But our next guest says these rankings only tell us how people feel about presidents at one given moment, and that may change, and it is changing, he says, for at least one person on that bottom list. Julian Zelitzer is a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. And Julian, over the last couple of weeks, we've been hearing this. You say George W. Bush's ranking may be changing.
Absolutely. Throughout history, presidential rankings change. Right now, still a lot of people are angry, frustrated with what happened during Bush's presidency. But it wouldn't be surprising if that changed quite significantly. Harry Truman ended his presidency with many people thinking poorly of him as an insignificant and incompetent president. And now he's often at the top of these lists and seen as one of the architects of the Cold War.
Well, let's explain what you're saying, starting with George W. Bush. His supporters are saying that George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice were much tougher on President Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, calling for reform, than, for instance, President Barack Obama was when he made his speech in Cairo.
Yes. The argument you heard as soon as Egypt fell from many of Bush's supporters was here was confirmation, here was the legitimacy of the Bush arguments. And you heard this from some liberals, not just some conservatives. There was something to what he was saying, that there was something very significant in his foreign policy that took place.
Well, just to stay with that for a second, because his supporters, again, are saying that he pushed for change in these areas. He lectured Mubarak. But on the other hand, couldn't what we're seeing, these dictators toppled through popular uprisings, couldn't that underscore that he absolutely didn't have to go to war and lose so many more lives to achieve the same thing, that this might have been possible in Iraq? Doesn't this sort of draw attention to what people see as his biggest failing?
Well, people will read, you know, what they want into these events, and they're difficult and complex enough that I think both sides will be able to take something away from it. Certainly, there is a counterargument that the war was unnecessary, that the revolutions that are taking place are confirmation that you didn't need war, that in the end, Facebook, Twitter, and the internet were powerful forces sweeping through the area. But that said, I still think that the supporters will have enough here to start at least challenging some of the criticism that took place at the end of his presidency.
Well, and tell us more about how presidents' reputations have changed historically. What happened for Truman?
Well, Truman ends his presidency in 1953. He's very unpopular, seen as botching up the war in Korea, a corrupt administration, and people just didn't think much of him. Even liberals thought, you know, he wasn't the real heir to FDR. But decades later, people look back at the creation of the national security apparatus in the late 1940s when he was president, and they say Truman was ahead of his time. He understood what was needed to defeat the Soviet Union, and his rankings go up as a presidential leader, as a foreign policy leader, and it's quite dramatic, the shift that took place.
Yeah. How about Ike Eisenhower? He was seen as being somewhat weak, even though he came from the military.
He was seen as a very strong military leader, but not the most significant president. He was seen as someone who wasn't on top of his cabinet, who wasn't really making decisions. He was allowing his advisors to do so, and more interested in playing golf than playing president. But what scholars found was that was just not true, that behind the scenes in what one scholar called a hidden hand presidency, Eisenhower called the shots. He was very conscious and deliberative about the different policy decisions that were taking place. And in some areas, like his critique of military spending, he was making arguments that many Democrats and Republicans were not courageous enough to make at the time.
John Kennedy, just briefly, initially criticized the left, said he was protecting corporate interests. How did that view change?
Kennedy starts for many liberals as someone who wasn't a very strong president and wasn't really that liberal. But over time, people started looking at what he did with executive power and how he tried to negotiate civil rights agreements behind the scene. And people said, you know, he was more committed to liberalism than we originally thought.
And finally, just Ronald Reagan, your sense of the arc of history's view of him.
It's a huge shift. If you look at the books that came out right when his presidency ended, he was criticized and mocked as a Hollywood actor who was great at delivering a line, but not very smart and not very good about making presidential decisions. The more we learned, the more we studied, we learned Reagan was a very serious president, someone who had thought and written, refined his views of conservatism for many decades before he became president. And on most national security decisions, he had a very heavy hand in terms of what his administration did with the Soviet Union. And while many people don't like his presidency still, I think everyone takes it much more seriously today than they did in 1989 or 1990.
Well, Julian, I just want to ask you about that because, again, you know, the image of him was someone who, you know, had his handlers manage things like foreign policy. You're saying, oh, no, he was very involved. Does that make him then more responsible for things like the criticism that he drove up defense spending to fight a Soviet Union that perhaps his administration should have known was already a failing regime?
Absolutely. Look, with some revision that benefits a president, more criticism can emerge. So if Reagan was not hands-off, if Reagan was aware of what was going on, everything from questions about his foreign policy to Iran-Contra to controversies over domestic policy must be seen in a new light because we know he was a president who was very involved in the decisions being made in his White House.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. His latest book, by the way, Jimmy Carter, A Biography of the Country's 39th President. It's part of the American Presidents series. Julian, as always, I know this is, you know, one of your favorite holidays. Happy President's Day.
Thank you. Same to you.